It is our great pleasure to have Hugh Masekela with us here on The Paula Gordon Show. To build on what Bill was just saying, Bill Russell, you say in recounting your life that you were part of a movement that was a liberation of voice. And it seems perhaps that this passage of the mantle of helping the world to be free is part of that liberation of voice. Does any of this make sense?
Well, you know, our president, Paula, has like put a major challenge to the world, you know, because he has his mistakes and been criticized for a few things, but he's the first president who has said to the West, I don't want to be confrontational. I want you to be partners with us. Now, this must really frustrate the West very much, to say here for the first time is a person from the so-called third world who's asking us to be partners, who puts himself at the same level with us intellectually and as a human being. And he's saying, help me to help us all to heal Africa, because if we can heal Africa, then we can heal the world, you know. And it's a hell of a challenge. But the thing that he also tells us is that South Africa is not free unless the Africa is free and the world is free. So he has set, him and Mandela, who preceded him, have set very, very high standards for us, standards that the United Nations or the Constitution of America has been surpassed by the standards we have set, because even our Constitution has a lot of flaws, but it's the most liberal constitution in the world. It has flaws because obviously now it has attracted every crime syndicate in the world has come to South Africa, because they can get better protection than anywhere else in the world. But the challenge for our president is, let us go and fix the Congo. Let us go and fix Rwanda, Burundi, Sudan, Somali, Angola. If we can fix those places, and like people have been saying to him, for instance, why don't you isolate Zimbabwe? Well, we can't afford to isolate Zimbabwe, because we have already more than 3 million Zimbabwean refugees in South Africa. The leadership of Zimbabwe, both Mugabe and Tsvangirai, don't seem to be interested in the people, but in their own personal arguments, in their own personal positions. The people of Zimbabwe, if there was a civil war, which they don't want to get into, which is why many of them are running away. The people of Zimbabwe, if there was a civil war, South Africa would be complete, and we already have people from all over Africa, all over Eastern Europe. And our president is saying, instead of people having to come here as a haven, or like having to, which the United States was for a long time, to come there, let's fix their places, let's help fix their places so that they don't have to run away. It's a hell of a challenge, because belonging to the human species, Paula and Bill, is very, very difficult. And to try and be a good person, because if you look at the history of the human species, we have treated each other terribly. And I don't see how we're ever going to change, because it's a nature that's inherent within us. So the challenge is going further, you know, than emulating a country, you know, is, can the human race and the way they think be changed? Because you look at revolution. Almost every revolutionary leader has taken advantage of the revolution by getting into amnesia immediately after the place is freed. Yeah. It's just so difficult. In other words, human beings, we are, and I mean, and there are days when I'm ashamed to be part of the species. You know, somebody sometimes calls me a dog. I said, thank you, you know, because you don't hear of dogs. You don't hear, like, the dogs from Mexico are going to Guatemala tomorrow to go and bite those dogs there.
No genocide.
There's some. I do think humility is an underrated virtue.
And the species could use some of it.
It's interesting to hear you talk and live in politics when I keep thinking, so why aren't we talking about music?
Right. Well, the thing is that everything is affected by politics. And everything is affected by politics. And maybe 99% of the world's politicians are corrupt people who are not interested in the people that they purport to be interested in, you know. And they affect our lives very, very adversely. From the time I was, you know, when I was, you know, when I mean, Marvin Gaye used to say to me, man, Husky used to, you know, he would have called you Paulski and Bilski, you know. He used to say, man, you know, it's just so great to hear you sing about things and talk about these things, sing about things other than love, because all we sing about here is love, you know. And where I come from, my neighborhood, and even my home, there was no love, you know. And I used to say to him, well, Marvin, nothing is really stopping you. You just think that something is stopping you from doing that. He said, well, you know, a record company. I said, hey, if you go and make a record and go to Berry Gordy and say, here it is, he's going to do it. Well, I don't think I encouraged him to do it, but we were very good friends. It was a catalyst, because later on he did what's going on, you know. And then it became later, and he set a precedent where, like, American, a lot of American started singing. But, you know, Bob Dylan was doing it, and, like, Joan Baez was doing it, and Pete Seeger had been doing it. But they were always looked at from the McCarthy perspective, like, these are bad people, you know. I don't think that there's ever been a meaningful artist in the world, you know, whether it was Picasso, who didn't have to challenge the establishment in order just for them to, like, be able to do. And again, you cannot be successful in a bubble. And you cannot work in a bubble when the people next door are affected by politics, you know. And they say sportsmen shouldn't be involved in politics, you know. What are these people? Are they mutants from another world? They're affected by it, you know. So I think that everything starts with politics. And what the world needs more than anything is not, like, for countries to be healed. I think that politicians, first of all, have to be healed all over the world. Then it'll be a better world. But that is a major dream.
And one has to have big dreams if one is going to make progress.
And they're thin-skinned. So, like, if you say, I think what's wrong with the world is what's wrong with you, you know. They're like, what do you mean? We're trying to help you. I say, sure, you're trying to help yourself. But then, you know, it becomes like a domino effect. But it's very difficult, I think, to. And Stokely Carmichael, again, was always my friend, just said, always used to say, my friend, as soon as you walk out of your door, you're heading into politics.
I can't let this hour pass without talking a little bit about Graceland.
Thank you.
Because it seems, in some ways, it certainly for the great public of the world, that Graceland tour in which you participated, and you and Miriam Makeba and a lot of other people and musicians from all over the world.
And then there was Paul Simon.
Thank you, Paul. that in some ways was a moment. It changed a little bit, but it was a moment at least where people did come together and were able to say and do, and in many ways bypass the politicians, or at the very least get them to fall in behind rather than trying to lead.
Well, what's amazing about Graceland is that it happened during the so-called cultural boycott of South Africa. And Paul Simon had been a friend of mine for over 11 years then. I was living in Botswana at the time. He found me and said, listen, I just did this record, man. I was just, like, fascinated by the music. I wrote songs with, you know, and we co-wrote songs and all. And I've never been hit so hard by any music. And I have an album here. I don't know if it's going to be a hit, but I think it's going to have some interest. If it does hit, would you come on tour with me? And I said, well, I know what's going to happen. You know, the anti-apartheid movement is going to be done next. Although Malcolm McLaren last year had a big hit with Double Dutch that he did in South Africa, never paid anybody. Nobody's paying attention to it. But I think because you did a whole LP, you know, a whole album, there's going to be problems. But we have to, like, rope in Miriam Makeba, because then we will have, like, a hell of a vanguard, you know, to face it. The funniest thing is that with the media, the people who challenged us most were British and South African white journalists. And I remember in the one press conference, you know, the person who was most talkative or most outspoken against us was a South African reporter. And I stood up and I said, can I just ask you something? In South Africa, do you live in a township? And he said, no. I said, so then what the hell are you talking about? You're living in a privileged situation, and you have the nerve to say Paul Simon is doing something that you are actually doing. You know, no, well, I'm, you know. But in the end, you know, I said that there's when a more interesting story than Graceland comes up, I'm sure you're all going to disappear. We play to millions of people who had never heard of South Africa. Paul Simon sold 10 million of those records of people who had never heard of South Africa and conscientized them. Even many artists at first were against him, but what happened was a culture of where all of a sudden, after Graceland, every artist had one anti-apartheid song in their album, okay? And then from that wherever they were, whether it was in China, or it just became a fever. And that affected their people, who in turn pressured their governments, you know, to say, you can't be friends with those. And that's a battle that the world fought for us, you know, when they turned their backs against South Africa. When even Bush, the W's father, had to, like, say, okay, you know, and like Thatcher, had to say, okay, you know, that was like the first time, I think, in the whole world that music had an effect that just rippled up into like the hallways of government to say, well, we really don't want to, but we can't be your friends anymore, you know. And to me, Graceland will always stand as like the hallmark or like the milestone or the highest milestone of how music really affected the world.
This is Hugh Masekela, who was right in the middle of that. We'll be back in a moment with a couple more minutes with him. We hope you'll be with us when we return.